much for that privilege. If you weren't here last night, I was saying to ourselves that what I really wanted to do was to engage our hearts and minds around that theme which is so central to the history and the spirit, the very ethos of the Keswick movement, and that is that we are all one in Christ Jesus. And I did say that we would anchor our thinking around Bible texts which would be very familiar to you, and that is from John chapter 17. But if you're here last night, you will have discovered that my principal approach to preaching is not expository, which is the true kind of Keswick preaching, but as I was saying to someone this morning, that I took a little bit of refuge in the fact that Jesus himself wasn't necessarily an expositor. But what I want to do is to explore some biblical themes, which I hope will help us to strengthen the unity of the body of Christ right here in South Florida. And we were saying last night that John 17 is that equivalent comes in the same chronological space as Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it is final request. It's a very strong prayer. It's the strongest prayer we will read in the Bible. And we said last night, just to contextualize ourselves for today, that you have to really read John 17 and the prayer of Jesus in the context of John's teachings through the words of Jesus from chapter 14, moving into 15 and 16. And as it were, the prayer comes at the climax of this teaching discourse about Jesus' relationship with the Father and the Spirit, and in turn, their relationship with the disciples. It's as though the teaching. because I am an evangelical. Don't shake your head in your heart at me. And veneration of the text itself can sometimes lead to inflexible Pharisaical behavior. I've been in some meetings where people hold a Bible under their armpit authoritatively, condemning everybody who does not agree with them. You know, my credentials run something like this. Pentecostal bishop, honorary canon of St. Paul's Cathedral. And I can sit in St. Paul's Cathedral on state events because I'm an honorary canon of St. Paul's Cathedral. You might have to say I'm a very privileged person or a very mixed up man. My word gives me the right and the responsibility sometimes to turn up in Lambeth Palace, say hello to the Archbishop, or to say hello to other Christian leaders of equal stature and responsibility in their own denominations. So I know all of us read the same Bible. And the Bible is pointing us itself to something equally important as the authority of Scripture. It is the authority of our unity in the nature of Christ Himself. One of the great Pauline themes is this: we are in Christ. 164 times in the New Testament. In Christ. There is no other Pauline statement as frequent as this. We are in Christ. My prayer is not for them alone, but for all who will believe in me through their message. So here's the thing. We become a part of this great relationship of the Trinity, not by being the fourth person in the Trinity. That's not what we were saying last night. You are not number four. Sorry, dear. If you left last night with that impression, no, I am number four. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Jennifer. Not quite. No. We are a part of the Trinity because we are in Christ. We take on the character of the Trinity of holiness, the great critic, theme, because we are in Christ. We take on the nature of righteousness because we are in Christ. We love truth and the Scriptures because we are with a different religious and cultural lifestyle when the Holy Spirit shoved him out of his Jewish comfort zone into somebody else's culture and said, this man, a Roman centurion, is also... So it means more than Jamaicans are going to heaven. Just as we have come from China, or Barbados, or an American, or an Englishman. And one of the great thrills for me in my work is seeing people uncomfortable, squirming outside of their comfort zones. Let me tell you this. In spite of the kind of credentials I have because of experience, I know that there are some pulpits in the UK which won't let me behind the podium. Because I am black and Pentecostal, they're frightened and I start jumping and whooping and hollering and sweating and running around the church and calling them angels and casting out demons and what have you. Are you ready to put me? And they need to hear, Brother Joba is like you because he is in Christ. When we have understood that together we are in Christ, we are able to cross cultural zones. And you're not doing it to be fashionable or sociable. You are doing it because you have understood that the word, whichever one, exploit of them. And I chose a couple of minutes. He used to say to me, how do you keep evangelical unity? That was my job. My job for 20 years was to stop evangelicals behaving badly. That's my job. When I stopped there, I was 6 years ago. I discovered how tired my hands were holding diversity together. The first book I wrote was called Lord, Make Us One, but not all the same. Someone said to me, how do you do this incredible weird job of holding diversity? I said, well, I'll tell you what. I try and find out how does Jesus hold in one fellowship a strong Calvinist, one saved, all saved. And on the other hand, he holds an Armenian. You can be saved, but you can lose it. Use it or lose it. Salvation. How does he have all these two? A more diametrically opposed theology you cannot find. Somehow he holds them together. How does he hold Whitfield, a Calvinist, and Wesley, an Armenian, together, and they are two powerful preachers of the 18th century? I don't know how God does that. How does he hold a cessationist, gifts of the Spirit, died with the apostles, and holds together a red-hot Pentecostal charismatic who wants to cast out demons on every church bench? I don't know. How does he hold a charismatic and a non-charismatic? How does he hold together one person who sits in every seat in the building and doesn't like sitting in the same place each Sunday, and somebody else, if you take them seat, you're in trouble? Don't you have those? I'm sure there's some people who think that the sanctification comes with their seat. If I lose my seat, I lose heaven. No, I move. You've got usher eyes, headache, and a migraine. You're not moving. Should give you an example, but you get my point. I'm going to close it. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love